The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Gemara here and Amud Aleph says as follows: The Mishnah and the Amud before talked about combining flocks for the chiyuv of Ma'aseh Behema. To which Rabbi Meir says that if there's a Yarden, if there's the river of the Yarden, the Jordan River, separating between the flocks, that separates between the flocks that they cannot be combined for Ma'aseh Behema. And that, which l'chayah should be the same thing for any river. Amar of Ami, Rav Ami says, Loishanu elish ein shem gesher. That's only if there's no bridge that goes over the river. Aval yasham gesher, if there's a bridge going over the river, mitzarfon, gesher mitzarfon, the bridge combines them. So the Gemara continues on, amla mishmatalim vikrifonu, and the Gemara goes through a whole sugya. A concept you see in the Gemara is that even though a river will separate in halacha, but if there will be a bridge that goes over, that will combine the two sides. The Marsham in a tshuva uses this for an interesting point. The Marsham is talking about, this Marsham is in Shalis, the tshuva is Marsham, Chelek Ches, Simen Reish Samach, and he's talking about the halachas of paying a shatchan. So he's talking about paying a shatchan. Sometimes you have to pay a shatchan who is a broker in a deal of real estate. And most commonly used in the lingo, the word shatchan is for somebody that brought together a chasan and a kala into an engagement. And the halacha is that the parties are obligated to pay this broker, this shatchan. So apparently in some places the minig was that if the two parties are from a distant place, one party is distant from a distant place of the world where the other party is located, so then the amount you pay the shatchan is greater than if both parties are from a local place. Says the Marsham, there also was a minog that if there was a river separating two places, and even if geographically the two places were near each other, they were considered like far. Says the Marsham, but if that's the case, then if there's a bridge, then even though there's a river in between, they'll be considered close. Just like our Gemara says, that if there's a river, and they're considered separated. But if there's a bridge over the river, then they're considered close. So too, pertaining to this minog, if there's going to be a bridge over the river, then even though when there's no bridge, I say they're considered distant, when there is a bridge, they're considered close by each other. So says the Marsham. In essence, the Marsham discussed halachas of paying a shatchan, and he said that the halachas of paying a shatchan depend on the minog, and with that, I would like to go into discussing the halachas of paying a shatchan and show how everything is really dependent on minog. As we said, shatchan in lingo is used most commonly for somebody who brought a prospective chosin and kala together that they should get engaged. And the minog, at least in most places, or many places, is that the shatchan gets paid. The shatchan gets paid on the completion of the shidduch. Once a shidduch was completed, there's an obligation to pay the shatchan. The question is, when does a shatchan get paid? When to pay him? Which cases do we pay the shatchan? How much to pay the shatchan? Are there any cases where a shatchan doesn't get paid? And all these questions are discussed in Poskim. But the real theme behind the whole the way the halachas are structured, the reason and the answer for almost all the questions boils down to the question of what is the minig. If the minig is to pay, then you have to pay. If the minig is to pay such and such, then you pay such and such. And for example, that's the amount that a person pays. But very simply, what's the minig? What's the lowest of the standard rates? That's what you're obligated to pay. And the reason to pay a shatchin is because the shatchin was a worker on your behalf. Even though he did the work on his own, he's a worker that voluntarily got involved. Nevertheless, he benefited you, and you're happy with his work, and he worked for you, and for that you have to pay him, you owe him money. The amount and other halachas are subject to what the minhag is. So therefore, like we said, whatever the minhag is, the lowest of the going rates, that's what you're obligated to pay him. Except if they made up otherwise, if someone told a shatchin, if you find me a shidduch, I'll pay you $10,000, so then, of course, if he does find the shidduch, he's obligated to pay $10,000, because he made up such a price. Now, if it's an outrageous price, there's discussion, could he say, Meshatani Bach, that's beyond our discussion. Kepshutoi, if he made up a price, he will have to pay the price. Also, who is this obligation on? The obligation will be on the parents. The parents of the chassan and the parents of the kala are the ones who are obligated to pay the price of shatchanus. Why is it so? And the reason is very simply, again, because of minhag. Since the minhag is that the parents of the chassan and kala are the ones who pay, so therefore when the shatchan does it, he's doing it relying that that's who's going to pay him. And the whole mechayiv of this whole shatchanus is minog. So therefore, since the minog is that the parents pay, the obligation is on the parents. However, like almost all rules, they all have exceptions. And there's an exception to this one too. And that would be, for example, if the chasen or kal are very old, and they're already out of their parents' jurisdiction, they're already taking care of themselves, and they dealt with the shidduch themselves, in such cases, then it's understandable that the shatchanis is owed by the chasen or kala themselves. Sometimes it may be a gray area. In such cases, someone would have to ask a shayla who the obligation is on. Is it on the parents? Is it on the chasen and kala themselves? Generally speaking, it's on the parents, and even if the parents don't pay, the chasen and kala would not have an obligation. When is the person obligated to pay? Whenever somebody does a job for you, you're supposed to pay right away. In many cases, there's an aveira of Baal Tolin if you delay payment. But the first question is, when, before getting to a question of whether there's Baal Tolin, for Shatchanis, many say there's no Baal Tolin, but depending on the case, there could sometimes maybe Baal Tolin, but before we get to Baal Tolin, we first have to know when is the time, appropriate time to pay. So, again, that's minhag. Is the time to pay right when the shidduch is made by the vort, or as soon as they make a lechaim, as soon as they call themselves officially engaged, or perhaps they can wait until they get married, until the chasana, until when they have a chuppah, until when it actually came to fruition, that their engagement came to fruition. So that is again dependent on minhag. And based on whatever the minhag of that locale is, that's when the obligation will be. Another discussion, another topic of discussion is there an obligation to pay relatives? So it's, when it's the parents of one of the, either chassan or kala that made the shidduch, everyone says that there's no minhag to pay shatchanus to a parent that makes the shidduch. There's a discussion what happens if it's a brother, sister, or grandparent of the chassan and kala. And there, at least there are many paiskim, numerous paiskim, that assume also that these people did it as a favor, and therefore they cannot claim shatchanus. Now, if they spoke out initially that they expect to be paid, then of course you'd have to pay them like anyone else, because then they did work. That's not even only minig and yoyrid. Such cases, they're a regular worker because they made up that they're doing work for a price. What about if, let's say, they did not speak out in initially that they're doing it to get paid, but they had in mind to do it to get paid, and the chassan and kala, the parents of the chassan and kala, believe them that they had in mind to get paid. So then again, many poskim say then they should get paid. However, there's some poskim that say all the time, even minastam, even if they didn't have any specific intention of getting paid, they're still entitled to get paid. One can ask a shayla and deal with it based on that. But that's only if it would be, let's say, the brother, sister, or grandparent of the chasen and kala that were the shatch. When it comes to a further relative, such as an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, everyone seemingly agrees that the minig is to pay them, and therefore they're entitled to get paid, and the parents are obligated to pay them. In some places, apparently some Sephardic communities, the chlal, there's no minig to get paid. So if there's no minig to get paid, like we say, it's everything, almost everything you can really boil it down to the minig. The minig is that they don't get paid, so that means they did it to almanas not to get paid, then they can't get paid. It's really true with anybody that does any job. If someone does a job with intention of not charging for it, they can't later charge for it. Once you did the job with intention of doing it for free as a favor, you can't charge later for it. Now, throughout the whole shir until here, until this point, we were saying how the halachas of shatchanis are generally dependent and subject to minog. As much as we say it's subject to minog, it's important to point out that although the halachas, the guidelines are based on what the minog is, but the obligation to pay is a chiyuv, is much stronger than minog. You know, when you say the word minog, it comes to mind things like, on Chanukah there's a minog to play dreidel. On Chanukah there's a minog to eat latkes. And on Purim there's a minog to eat hamantashen. Now everyone knows, if you don't play dreidel on Chanukah, if you don't eat hamantashen on Purim, you were not in violation of any prohibition. You did not do anything wrong. It's just, this is one of the customs, this is one of the things we do. When we say minog in shatchanas, we mean that the minig is what jump starts the chiyuv. But in essence, today that the chiyuv is here, when it comes to minig in the Nyanei Mamonis, it's a full-fledged obligation. It doesn't make a difference that the source began with a minog. The custom is what jump started the chiyuv today, that there is such a minog. The chiyuv is a full-fledged chiyuv, and theoretically, the shatchin could take the parents and claim their shatchanis fee in Bezdin. And Bezdin could obligate and pressure and force, if they have the power, for the parents of the Chasen and Kala to pay. And therefore it's important for people to realize that Shatchanus is not just a good thing to pay, it's really an obligation. And this year is just an overview and just to bring awareness of the topic of Shatchanus. And for those that would like to see more, there's a beautiful sefer that came out recently, Shatchanus and Halacha. And a person can see over there more halachas. And if there's any questions, a person could also ask a shayla. Like other chayshim mishpat shaylas, often the shayla cannot be asked by one party alone. Sometimes it's necessary that both parties, in other words, the parents, together with the shatchin, go to the same rav or bezdin and get a psak. But like we said, shatchanis is outlined, the guidelines are based on what minig is. But today that there's a minig, once there is a minig, the obligation is a full-fledged obligation like any other monetary obligation.
The Daf Yomi audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you could email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.